listening to 420 Radio.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Monday, January 12th, 2014. 15. Oh my God, I did it. I finally did it. I knew it would happen before the month was over. It's Monday, January 12th, 2015. And it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And I'm still recovering from the flu, so my head is full of hard drugs today. That's right, acetaminophen and antihistamines. So bear with me. I'll do the best I can. Thank you for being here, and sorry for the lack of a show on Friday. As I mentioned, I was succumbed to the flu bug. And you know I was really sick because I even missed out on going to the Packers bar for our victory against the Dallas Cowboys. Rolo J, he owes me some sourdough bread now. So welcome to the show. Like I said, do the best I can here trying to get through the flu, but I think we're okay for the day. Lots of news to get to in today's 420 Radio News. All sorts of great headlines. But before we get to the news, we have got a great guest on today's show. As usual, on Mondays, we deal with Dr. Mitch Earlywine from SUNY Albany in our cannabis Q&A segment, and we'll be asking him all sorts of questions. There's a study out about cannabis and body mass index that may be of importance to people who are fighting off the possibility of diabetes. We've got a result on that Sativex test for cancer pain. We'll get Dr. Mitch's opinions on that. And kind of related to that, a study on pain patients using cannabis to augment opioid painkillers in their therapy. So we'll talk to Dr. Mitch about that, and we'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. And then on today's show for the Radical Rant, no more cannabis apartheid. I am sick and tired of the unnecessary distinction between patients and so-called potheads. We're going to discuss how that's going down in Washington State, in Oregon, and all throughout the country, and why we don't need to have two separate buildings for people to buy marijuana in. That's really got me riled up. It may go later than just the Radical Rant segment. Also on the show today, we're going to do some drug war data mining, taking a look at the NCAA's threshold for marijuana testing. This is in the news because of an Oregon wide receiver and a special teams player who are both missing the college national championship game tonight because of their failed marijuana tests. We'll compare the NCAA to other sports and other industries' thresholds for marijuana failures. Also on the show today, we're going to go behind the headlines and take a look. We're going to give you a update on a case that we talked about last week, a trademark case involving IVXX, the Roman numerals for 420. Well, actually, the Roman numerals for 4 and 20. 420 would be CDXX, but I'm nitpicking. We'll talk about the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office's response to attempts to trademark 420, as it's written in Roman numerals, when we get to our Behind the Headlines segment. That, of course, comes right after the 420 Radio News. And in the news today, medical marijuana sales in Colorado have tanked in November. We'll figure out why. In Georgia, a representative has caved in on his attempt to pursue a whole plant medical marijuana bill in that southern state. We've got a look at the amount of cannabis being seized at the U.S.-Mexican border and how that has changed. Oregon officials are looking to license industrial hemp growers in time for spring planting. Activists in California gathered to discuss a united front fighting for 2016 legalization. And we've got a new legalization poll coming out of the state of Michigan. All of that coming up on the Russ Melville Show. And then stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111 and discuss other important stories in the cannabis community. Stick around, we're right back after this break.
You're tuned into the Russ Melville Show. the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005. The Russ Belville Show.
Fun, fun, fun.
What's happening, cool cats? This is Big Daddy, and I want you to cruise on over to the Funky Roller Rink. We'll be grooving all night long. Doors open at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, every Thursday night, right here on RadicalRuss.com.
Funky. Delicious.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today. It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, January 12th, 2015. Medical marijuana sales in Colorado tanked in November as they dropped nearly 17% from the previous month, according to just-released data from the Department of Revenue. Medical dispensaries sold $27.5 million of cannabis in November, a big downturn from October's $33.1 million in medical revenues. Meanwhile, the state's recreational weed sales are holding strong, with $31.2 million in November and $31.6 million in both October and September. The medical market has been, for the most part, steady, with these new November sales statistics showing medical pot's lowest numbers of 2014. From January through November, Colorado brought in more than $67.5 million in taxes, licenses, and fees via recreational and medical cannabis. Georgia State Representative Alan Peake says after lengthy discussions with Governor Nathan Deal, his medical marijuana bill will no longer include a model to grow and distribute medical cannabis in the state. The bill includes full immunity for those who bring back medical cannabis legally obtained from other states. Quote, "They have pulled the wool over our eyes and pulled the rug out from under the citizens of Georgia that support medical marijuana," end quote, said James Bell, director of the Georgia Care Project. According to Bell, Representative Peake is setting up patients to violate federal and other states' laws concerning possessing and transporting a controlled substance across state lines. Patients and parents would essentially become drug smugglers, and only certain people would be immune from prosecution. The amount of cannabis seized by U.S., federal, state, and local officers along the boundary with Mexico has fallen 37% since 2011, a period during which American marijuana consumers have increasingly turned to more potent, higher-grade domestic varieties cultivated under legal and quasi-legal protections in more than two dozen U.S. states. That has prompted Mexican drug farmers to plant more opium poppies, and the sticky brown and black tar heroin they produce is channeled by traffickers into U.S. communities hit hardest by prescription painkiller abuse, offering addicts a $10 alternative to $80 a pill oxycodone. U.S. law enforcement agencies 2,181 kilograms of heroin last year coming from Mexico, nearly three times the amount confiscated in 2009. Oregon officials hope to begin licensing industrial hemp growers in time for spring planting. The Oregon Department of Agriculture has drafted rules governing hemp cultivation, which the agency hopes to put in place by February 2nd. Agriculture officials hope to begin issuing licenses to hemp producers in time for spring planting. The rules are based on a 2009 state law that legalized hemp production. Officials held off on implementing the law due to the federal prohibition on marijuana, a relative to industrial hemp. Hemp advocates said the state's rules are outdated and won't help Oregon producers compete with China and Canada. They argue, for instance, that the THC limit for certified industrial hemp is too low and weakens the plant's fibers, which are commonly used in textiles. Tim Pate, who served on the Rules Advisory Committee, said the rules are imperfect, but enough to get the program off the ground. A diverse and passionate group of activists from every part of California gathered in Oakland to debate the shape and message of the state's imminent 2016 cannabis legalization initiative. Men's Warehouse entrepreneur and philanthropist George Zimmer, a key figure in the early campaign for the historic Proposition 215, opened the symposium by reminding the packed convention hall of the, quote, need to clearly organize and present a united front, end quote. A policy panel at the 2014 Emerald Cup was disrupted by supporters of the California Cannabis and Hemp Initiative, also known as the Jack Herer Initiative, who were upset that their group was not represented on the panel. Coalition for Cannabis Policy Reform Executive Director Dale Skye Jones, who was an invited speaker on the disrupted panel, responded that, quote, we have to end our circular firing squad to face front against our real enemies, end quote. A new poll conducted by Epic MRA of Lansing shows that 50% of Michigan voters would be likely to support a future ballot proposal to legalize the possession or cultivation of marijuana by adults 21 years of age or older and allow taxable sales at state-licensed stores. A similar poll from a year ago had pegged voter support for legalizing marijuana by taxing it and regulating it like alcohol at 47%. 46% of respondents said they would vote against a future marijuana legalization ballot proposal, while 4% were undecided. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, January 12, 2015. I'm Russ Belville. You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420.
The Green Cross has been an amazing source of cannabis medicines for my pain management. Whether I need edibles or tinctures or topicals, I'm able to combine the two or three to give me really successful pain control.
It's the delivery service that Green Cross provides is just incredible. You get your medicine and it's delivered by a person that, you know, you trust.
Whether we come to you or you come to us, the Green Cross delivers.
Despite strong public support for medical cannabis, decriminalization, and legalization in Georgia, the state spends $121 million every year to arrest, prosecute, and imprison Georgians for simple possession. Each year, the state of Georgia spends less on driver services, agriculture, and forestry combined. What else can $121 million a year do in Georgia? With that much money, the state could hire and keep 3,000 more teachers, improve roads and bridges, provide tax relief for small businesses, repair aging sewage systems, or lower taxes. But right now, that's millions of dollars of your tax money wasted on failed enforcement. Tell your representative you're tired of wasteful spending and ask them to end cannabis prohibition. Join the conversation at www.peachtreenormal.org. Peachtree Normal is a proud affiliate of Normal, the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws.
International Cannabis Business Conference is coming to the Hyatt Regency Hotel in San Francisco, California, February 15th and 16th, 2015. Don't miss this exclusive opportunity to hear from the experts on the future of marijuana commerce, including scientists like Dr. Carl Hart, Dr. Amanda Ryman, and Dr. Stanton Peel, policy experts like Ethan Nadelman from Drug Policy Alliance, Anthony Johnson from Oregon's legalization campaign, travel author Rick Steves from Washington's legalization campaign, and California legalization pioneer Dale Skye Jones. Business experts like Harborside's Steve D'Angelo, ArcView Group's Troy Dayton, and UFCW union leader Dan Rush. Cannabis journalists like Ricardo Baca, Steve Bloom, and Doug Fine, and California Republican Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, plus many, many more. Tickets are on sale now at internationalcbc.com, but hurry, last year's conference in Portland, Oregon was a sellout. International Cannabis Business Conference, San Francisco, California, February 15th and 16th. internationalcbc.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 15 after the hour, and today, as we go behind the headlines, we take a look at a case we reported on earlier in 420 Radio News regarding a conflict on a trademark. It seems there's a company out there, TerraTech, which tried to apply for a trademark, or said it was trademarking, a new brand to be known as IVXX Elevate. Now, the IVXX is meant to represent 420, IV being the Roman numeral for 4, and XX being the Roman numerals for 20. 420 would actually be CDXX. That also has been used by the rap group The Individuals from Chicago for one of their albums, CDXX Marijuana Music. But the IVXX trademark engendered some controversy because of one Bianca Barnhill, a friend of the show's and also the niece of High Times owner Michael Kennedy. Bianca Barnhill has been running a lifestyle brand since at least 2013 when I first started seeing it, and probably for long before that, that she was using IVXX as a brand. So that was the initial controversy as this new company, this mainstream company, was attempting to appropriate a brand already made famous by someone who's within the community. But now the controversy has elevated itself to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, which has issued a ruling that is a blow to both parties in this particular situation. And if I'm reading this correctly, basically the feds are saying, you can't trademark 420. The document I have here was written to TerraTech Corporation, and it's from the U.S. Trademark and Patent Office, trademark application number 864-00760, which is an application for IVXX Elevate. And it's interesting because the email comes along with 32 different attachments. We'll get back to the attachments in just a second. But the Patent and Trademark Office says that the referenced application has been reviewed by the assigned trademark examining attorney. And according to their search results, the trademark examining attorney has searched the office's database of registered and pending marks and has found no conflicting marks that would bar registration under the Trademark Act Section 2D. So this was by itself good news to the TerraTech company, because basically USPTO was saying we couldn't find anyone else using IVXX so far. So you're okay to go ahead and use it in that respect. But the overall decision from USPTO was refusal, not in lawful use in commerce, marijuana related goods based on evidence. And they continue by explaining, registration is refused because the applied for mark, as used in connection with the goods identified in the application, is not in lawful use in commerce, referencing the Trademark Act Sections 1 and 45 of 15 United States Code Sections 1051 and 1127. To qualify for federal trademark registration, the use of a mark in commerce must be lawful. Thus, any goods to which the mark is applied must comply with all applicable federal laws. And of course, the Controlled Substance Act, they write, prohibits, among other things, manufacturing, distributing, dispensing, or possessing certain controlled substances, including marijuana and marijuana-based preparations. In addition, the Controlled Substances Act makes it unlawful to sell, offer for sale, or use any facility of interstate commerce to transport drug paraphernalia, that is, any equipment, product, or material of any kind which is primarily intended or designed for use in manufacturing, compounding, converting, concealing, producing, processing, preparing, injecting, ingesting, inhaling, or otherwise introducing into the human body a controlled substance, possession of which is unlawful. Okay, so according to their trademark application, they were applying, and this was what they were applying for, medicated candy, medicated chewing gum, confectionery, drinks, herb extracts, herbal preparation, herbs in dried or preserved form, medicinal preparations, drops, capsules, tablets, sweets, balms, topical creams, gels, salves, sprays, powder, balms, liniment, and ointment, as well as brownies, chocolates, confections, cookies, and candy. And according to the Patent and Trademark Office, they said that you could not use this IVXX Elevate mark to be able to represent that because, and according to them, quote, please see the attached evidence showing that the number 420, which the applicant's Roman numerals correspond to, is commonly used in reference to marijuana. Remember me mentioning the 32 different attachments? They actually attach 32 different screenshots of websites from all around the internet that use 420 in some way. Now, I don't have a look through them all. I hope 420 radio's in there.
Oh, I could have smoked that pot.
Yeah, but you can't trademark it with a 420, apparently. So I guess the good news here for Bianca Barnhill is if she wants to use IVXX as a trademark for something non-marijuana or non-paraphernalia, she can go ahead and do so. But TerraTech can't use it to trademark marijuana products or paraphernalia. We'll keep you posted as we learn more about this. Happy 420 to our listeners in the Mountain Time Zone. We're back with Drug War Data Mine right after this. You can get 420 Radio on the go with the Ustream video app for Android and iPhone. Go to rad-r.us/420Ustream or just click the Ustream app icon for Android or iPhone below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Big Daddy thinks.
Funky Roller Rage, Roller Rage, Roller Rage.
Oh yeah, this is Big Daddy, and I'll be your freakazoid every Thursday night, right here at the Funky Roller Rink.
Funky Roller Rink.
11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, only on RadicalRust.com.
Georgia. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everyone. 23 after the hour. In the Data Mine today, we're going to take a look at the sports leagues and their thresholds for marijuana metabolites on their drug tests. This issue comes to the fore because of tonight's National College Championship Football playoff game, pitting the Ohio State Buckeyes against the Oregon Ducks, the local favorites here at Rolla J Studios. Now, the Oregon Ducks have one of the nation's most prolific offenses, but they will be shorthanded, missing out star redshirt freshman wide receiver Darren Carrington due to a failed NCAA drug test for marijuana. In addition to Carrington sitting out, they will also be without Ayele Ford. I may be mispronouncing his name. He's a special teams player who's been integral to the success of that unit for the Ducks. He will be out as well because of a failed drug test for marijuana. Now, there are many people who will cite this and blame the victim in this case. Darren Carrington and Ayele Ford will blame them, saying they've let down their team. Why couldn't they just not smoke? A national championship game is important. It's the rules. It may be a stupid rule, but he knew it was the rule. Folks, I am so tired of this victim blaming in this case, especially when we consider for football players that the use of marijuana is the number one best thing they can do to protect their brains from the concussions and traumatic brain injury that they suffer from playing that game. To deny them and to punish them for using marijuana is wrong. It's just flat out wrong. And it's more wrong than some kid who made a mistake and didn't obey a particular rule. I think the people that are saying saying it's the rules, he should have followed them, wouldn't be so sanguine on following the rules if it was a rule against, say, interracial dating or a rule against religious displays. Things that have nothing to do with one's performance on the field. Now, I know those are things that are constitutionally protected, but I feel that marijuana use is a civil right. It's not just some indulgence that we should be forced to do without because some NCAA organization wants to make a moral judgment about people that use marijuana rather than people that use alcohol. But all that aside, let's take a look at how unfair the NCAA standard is when we compare it to other organizations out there. The metabolite threshold for the NCAA is 5 nanograms per milliliter. That's not the 5 nanograms they talk about in Washington State when it comes to a DUI. That's 5 nanograms of active THC in the blood. Still a stupid rule, but at least it's active THC in the blood. Here we're talking about 5 nanograms of inert metabolite in one system, something that can last for days or weeks. Now compare that to the United States Army. The United States Army's threshold is 15 nanograms. For some reason, you could have 14 nanograms of pot metabolite in your system and still be trusted to carry a weapon in the sand of Afghanistan, but not enough to catch passes in a national championship game. That's way too much danger there. The NFL increased theirs from the U.S. Army's level of 15 up to 35 nanograms. For some reason, you can catch passes in the NFL with 7 times more pot in your system than you can in college. Major League Baseball set their testing level at 50 nanograms, which happens to be the same level that is drug tested by the federal government for U.S. airline pilots. For some reason, you can fly a jumbo jet with 10 times as much marijuana metabolite in your system, but you can't catch passes in an NCAA championship game. And when it comes to the entire world, the World Anti-Doping Agency, which covers sports from soccer to curling to fencing to swimming, the World Anti-Doping Agency sets their limit at 150 nanograms. 150 nanograms. For some reason, you can have 30 times more marijuana in your system and compete at the freaking Olympics, but you can't catch passes in a college national championship game. Now, this is a stupid rule. Everybody knows it's a stupid rule. And not only should there not be, they should just abolish this rule. There shouldn't be any testing for marijuana whatsoever. And I know people complain. Yeah, Oregon's legal, but it's not legal till July 1st. Yeah, Oregon's legal, but he'd still be underage. He's only 19. Folks, as far as I'm concerned, any football player who is using marijuana is using it for medical purposes. They're using it for the prophylactic advantages against traumatic brain injury and concussion. They're using it to prevent against getting addicted to opioid painkillers by choosing a painkiller that is going to help much more than it hurts. It's time to get rid of this outdated rule. It's time to stop using moral judgments to determine whether or not these kids should be playing in the national championship game. Now, I know the NCAA is full of stupid rules. Another stupid rule they could get rid of is not letting these kids profit off their own likeness and treating them like basic chattel and allowing these corporations allowing these schools to make billions of dollars off of these kids in the exchange for an education that may cost $100,000 at most. It's certainly an uneven playing field, if you'll pardon the metaphor there, an uneven playing field that takes advantage of the talent and the hard work ethic of these good NCAA athletes. The Oregon team does not deserve to be punished because of this. The Ohio State team doesn't deserve to have an asterisk next to their play. Would they have beat Oregon had they had all their players? It's time to let all these players play and stop testing for marijuana in the NCAA.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times Magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everyone. 31 after the hour, and we've got Dr. Mitch on the line. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
Having a great night.
Having a great day myself. And just a quick reminder for folks, you want to get your questions in, our chat room is open and our phone lines are too at 971-533-7111. And we'll be off next week. It's our first federal holiday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, so we will have the day off. You want to get your questions in today, if at all possible. All right, so Dr. Mitch, we always let him go first with the latest in cannabis science. What's new in the research, sir?
Just some pretty crazy new research on priming of marijuana ideas and how people seem to respond with their expectations. So unfortunately, we don't have a ton of research out on this topic, but it looks like sometimes the euphoria and the expected effects of cannabis can show up simply because people are thinking about marijuana or have rated things that have marijuana content in the lab, and it's kind of a funny and interesting set of findings.
So what you think is going to happen is shaping your effect of what really happens?
Exactly. So these expectancy-induced things, we're seeing it with some of the placebo administration stuff, and it'll be intriguing to see which labs can kind of get at this. I'm hoping our colleagues in Colorado and Washington can really take a hard look at these expectancy effects of marijuana.
Okay. And I've got some interesting studies that I've collected here as we've been off for a while. And the first one that comes up reminds me, actually, the first one here has to do with GW Pharmaceuticals. We reported on this last week, how they're in their clinical trials and found that Sativex was failing in a cancer pain study. I was wondering if you took a look at this and what your opinion was on it.
I had to take a really close look, and I'm thinking this may be an issue with dosage. We've talked before about how pain responses to cannabis are kind of an inverted U. There's a Goldilocks sort of happy medium, little dab will do ya situation, and I think the dose may have been either too small or too large in this situation, and so it actually didn't get the results they had hoped for.
How are the results on cancer pain for people that are using whole plant cannabis? Do we have any data on that?
Well, we got a lot of anecdotal stuff and a lot of more general pain things where the medium dose is the dose that seems to work. Cancer pain is a hard thing to study in general, so we don't have a ton of other studies with whole plant.
How does cancer pain differ from other types of pain?
As it turns out, It just really depends on the location, and it's hard to generalize to all types of cancer on this, but seems to be the case that it's got the potential to work, and I'm thinking this may be something where we have to individualize the dosage better than they may have had the opportunity to do in this study.
Okay. Another study out reflects some information that we found maybe a year or two ago, but it's nice to have some more confirmation on this. Study says that cannabis use may lead to a lower BMI, and that would be body mass index. We reported on this before about how pot smokers tended to be skinnier, not fatter. What does this new data tell us?
It's funny because it's so counterintuitive given the whole appetite enhancement effects we get and that cannabis munchies stereotype. But it looks like the initial idea was just, hey, people get their feelings of contentment wherever they can, whether it's food or cannabis. It looks like it may be a little more complicated than that, in that there may be something involved with the way we metabolize insulin or the way we sort of experience hunger subsequent to regular use, but we don't really have the mechanism worked out completely.
All right. We have a question from our chat room. Any thoughts on using cannabis to deal with dental pain? Apparently, he wasted his time trying a topical on his jaw. And I guess dental pain would be nerve pain, and we've heard cannabis is pretty good for that.
In fact, one of the first studies on this compared codeine to a cannabis tincture, and it was folks who were getting all four molars removed, so they got to do one molar and then try one substance and another molar and try another, and the cannabis did just as well. Again, this was a situation where they had a sort of tincture type thing that they got to ingest well before the actual extraction of the tooth, so I think that's got to be part of the issue. But then subsequent to the extraction, you see the inflammation has already started and you've already gotten that kind of raw gum situation, so it may be a kind of thing where getting to hit that dosage ahead of time may have some advantages.
You know, a dental question opens up something I've thought about a long time, and that is how in our culture we kind of have this, we kind of giggle at the idea of going to the dentist and getting the laughing gas, and we have these dentists that advertise gentle dental and we'll knock you out, you'll wake up, everything will be fine. Why is there such acceptance for that, and yet we suggest smoking pot for that and people freak out?
It's a curious thing that any of the external sources that have a novelty tend to get this strange pass, if you will. So we don't recommend nitrous for other kinds of pain, and suddenly this is the one that seems to have the approval. And this may go back all the way to Horace Wells, the guy who was one of the first guys to ever use this in the 1800s. They used to have nitrous shows, like we have like hypnosis shows now, where people would come up and huff a big balloon of nitrous and then walk around and do crazy things. And then he was doing it and watched a guy and basically saw this guy hit his shin up against a chair on his walk back down to the audience, and the guy didn't show any pain. So he went and begged the performer for this giant balloon of nitrous, and sure enough went back to his office and had somebody pull one of his teeth. And that was the whole sort of beginning of nitrous use in dental work here in the United States.
And it also seems to me that, you know, a lot of the desire for wanting that nitrous isn't even so much pain as it is anxiety. People have such anxious reaction to dental work as compared to any other, you know, treatments.
It's curious because dental fear is now a very large literature, and it seems to respond well to some of the standard relaxation techniques and meditation. So I feel like it's a whole lot like other anxieties, but for some reason we've got this circle around it where the nitrous is the one thing that everybody seems to expect and seems to accept, when in fact there are a whole lot of pathways to decreasing both that anxiety and the pain.
Gothic Prophet in the chat room has a follow-up on that, wanting to know, would eating cannabis provide better relief than smoking cannabis? And maybe a little explanation on how that transfers into different types of cannabinoids within the system.
Well, you do end up with that 11-hydroxy-THC when you've consumed cannabis orally. And my concern would be that the dosage could end up being too much, and so you'd end up in that domain where you essentially are increasing your pain sensitivity rather than decreasing it. So it'd be a hard thing to second guess. You might want to experiment with dosage ahead of time, keep it on the lighter side, but I feel like the feedback from inhaled vaporized cannabis is so much faster, you'd know better and kind of know if you didn't have enough and be less likely to do too much under those circumstances.
All right. And, you know, I think you might also have that risk of paranoia and start seeing the dentist as Steve Martin from Little Shop of Horrors. So
exactly.
Be careful there. All right. Another study that was quite interesting to me, and this kind of dovetails into what we were just talking about, a study that says pain patients report cannabis augments the efficacy of opiate-based medications. It's something we've reported on many times, but is there anything new in this particular study?
Well, I feel like this helps support some of the epidemiological stuff we've shown before, where opiate deaths, opiate overdoses, tend to decrease in medical marijuana states, particularly those that have good accessible medical cannabis. And this is making it clear that, in fact, using cannabis as a supplement to your opiate drugs, or alternating an opiate one day and a cannabis-based medication another, helps keep that tolerance down, and then the toxicity of the opiates, which is pretty legendary, tends to decrease. You don't need a larger dose, and then you're much less likely to essentially overdose.
Is there anything indicating that that correlates along with the data they showed where medical marijuana states have lower suicide rates among men aged 20 to 40? And I'm thinking, you know, these young men not taking SSRIs that have that side effect of could cause suicidal ideation, maybe that has something to do with it?
Oddly, that finding may be alcohol-mediated, so the notion of cannabis as a substitute may actually be contributing to that. We do see folks more likely to kill themselves when they're high consumers of alcohol, and we don't know if it's necessarily accidental or it just kind of disinhibits them in a way where they're suddenly more willing to commit suicide or what. But it seems to co-vary with that decreased alcohol consumption, at least in some data sets. So that may actually be the mechanism rather than these opiates, which are not quite as widely used as alcohol.
Mm. And earlier in the news, we reported on the state of Georgia, where a representative down there has abandoned his cause for fighting for whole plant medical marijuana, instead bowing to the governor's demands that they only allow basically immunity for people, for qualifying patients who go and get it from other states. This seems really inappropriate to me to incentivize people to become federal drug traffickers. What are your thoughts?
I'm so flummoxed by this because it literally would not work with any other medication on earth. If there were any medicine at all that had this model, we would be laughing or just completely guffawing, and yet here we're saying, okay, you can have it, but you can't actually get it here. I understand if they're apprehensive about setting up distribution or anything like that, but it literally will increase the state influx and make all the neighboring states suddenly be in this weird predicament. I find it's just not sensible.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for that, Dr. Mitch. We thank you for all your expertise every Monday here on the Russ Belville Show on our Cannabis Q&A. Folks, if you want to get your question direct to Dr. Mitch, you're shy, you don't want to talk about it on the radio, you can always email 420research@gmail.com. And we will be back not next Monday, but the following Monday for another edition of this Cannabis Q&A. Dr. Mitch, thanks for joining us.
Hey, go Ducks.
Go Ducks. Hey, all right. Got some East Coast love for the Ducks. Loving that. All right, folks, stay tuned. We've got the anti-drug public service announcement of the day coming up next. And after that, a radical rant. No more cannabis apartheid. It's time to meld the recreational and medical systems of growth and distribution of cannabis. I'll explain why when we come back.
Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the activist radio station. Are you in the market for portable vaporizers now? Get online to vapes.buzz, the quick and easy link to portablevaporizersnow.com. Vapes.buzz has everything you're looking for, including vape pens, herbal vaporizers, e-juice, parts, accessories, and more. Visit Vapes.buzz and save 5% instantly, or give them a call at 866-264-2415. Vapes.buzz. Get vaping, baby! In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
About 1 in 11 marijuana users become addicted. That number changes to 1 in 6 if they try the drug before age 18. Marijuana, it's addictive.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
And one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, everyone. 46 after the hour, and the rant today, no more marijuana apartheid. This is an issue that's really heating up here in the Pacific Northwest. Seattle City Attorney Pete Holmes authored a op-ed that appeared in the Seattle newspapers about the need to integrate medical and recreational marijuana systems. Allison Holcomb, the architect of I-502, echoed that call in a recent article. And here in the state of Oregon, there has been a call from the legislature, among some, for the need to integrate both systems. Now, it's a much more compelling situation in Washington State. Washington State has the most unregulated medical marijuana system only after California. It has no state patient registry. It has no licensing or regulation having to do with its medical marijuana dispensaries. The dispensaries currently in existence are gaming a loophole in collective gardens to get by. They have hundreds of locations when recreational locations have a few dozen across the state. And of course, they get to operate without paying any of the license fees or the huge amount of taxes, the 44% effective rate that exists in Washington State. This has led to a situation where many, many people are just undercutting I-502's regulations by going to the medical market, by getting an easily obtainable medical recommendation from a naturopath or a nurse practitioner, and being able to shop tax-free. It's obviously an untenable situation. But the people supporting the status quo are so loath to see the end of their easy cash cow. Here in Oregon, it's a little bit of a different situation, as our dispensaries are regulated, but they're regulated in a weird way. See, in Oregon, we had this bill passed, HB 3460, that created these dispensaries and allowed them to operate, and where they get their product is through the sales of excess medicine being generated for patients. See, in Oregon, you can be a patient, and as a patient, you can grow 24 plants and have 24 ounces. Those 24 plants, six of them can be mature, 18 immature. So you're harvesting six plants, and as many people will know, you can get much more than 4 ounces off of a plant. So you got these patients with this huge amount of excess, and that excess now, the patient can sign over, can sign a little document saying that my grower is allowed to take that medicine and sell it to a dispensary. Although it's supposedly reimbursements for supplies and utilities and the typical costs of doing business, and yet everybody's prices are always the same. For somehow, everybody has exactly the same expenses. So this is kind of the wink and nudge system that's in existence in Oregon, and currently the legislature is looking at implementing Measure 91, which has a $35 an ounce tax at the grower level. And there's concern that by having two separate systems, you have a redundancy in state government. You have two organizations that are controlling what's going on in marijuana commerce. You have two different sets of rules and regulations. You have two completely separate streams of product that are being generated. And most of all, and most troubling to me, is that it further integrates a system, it further commits to a system of marijuana apartheid. Now, to me, all I see when someone says we're going to have separate pot shops than recreational shops is a system where it's going to be much, much more difficult for me to find a place to shop. Right here where I live, Roll the J Studios, we're on a boulevard called Sandy Boulevard. It's a major four-lane artery that cuts diagonally through the northeast portion of Portland, Oregon. If I get on Sandy Boulevard and drive toward the river one direction, there are at least four dispensaries I will pass on my way. As I drive up Sandy Boulevard toward Interstate 205, there's at least another three dispensaries that I'll pass going that way. If there's a limited amount of zones where dispensaries can exist, where pot shops can exist, and they all have to be 1,000 feet from each other, if those seven medical shops remain medical only, where is my recreational pot shop supposed to locate? Why should I, as a healthy marijuana consumer, have to bypass seven locations that are close to me to go out to the red light district ghetto, wherever they end up licensing the recreational pot shops to go shop? What this says to me is that medical marijuana patients want a system where they get to shop at all the pot shops, the medical and the adult use shops, because they'll be over 21 and can go to those too. They want a system where 20% of the medical marijuana consumers can shop at 100% of the shops, and 80% of the medical marijuana consumers can only shop at a few shops. And that is segregation, plain and simple. It ain't right for drinking fountains, it ain't right for public schools, and it ain't right for marijuana shops. Now, all these concerns that I hear from the patient advocate class, patients have different needs. They fail to explain how those different needs couldn't be handled by a recreational shop. Now, it's not as if I want to get rid of the medical marijuana program. I agree that patients have different needs. Most patients need a whole lot more marijuana than most recreational consumers. However, I will put my use of marijuana as a recreational consumer up against at least half of the patient's use and find that I probably use more than half the patients out there. Nevertheless, we have got a situation where the medical consumers keep saying they have different needs, but won't express how one system couldn't handle them all. And that's especially galling when we have a system right now that's handling them all. Don't think for a second that seven dispensaries are surviving on Sandy Boulevard simply for medical sales. Don't pull my leg, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. I know damn well plenty of recreational sales are going down in the current medical stores. And if we set this up where there's two different systems, all we're doing is further highlighting that marijuana apartheid. Now, patients have different needs. What do they need? Patients need more medicine? Okay, keep the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program so they can have a card that allows them to possess 24 ounces. See, I'm willing to accept having only 1/24th the right to possession as a patient. And yet I'm somehow throwing the patients under the bus. I'm willing to support that patients with that card can still grow 24 plants when I'm only allowed to grow four. I'm willing to allow myself to only have 1/6th of the cultivation right as a patient, and yet somehow I'm throwing patients under the bus. You know, folks, if you want to look under the bus, what you'll find is recreational consumers who've been run over since 1998 when we decided it was politically expedient to only fight for the sick people. And I, for one, have had it. This mantra of "we're patients, not criminals" doesn't work anymore. And now it's more than glaringly obvious that what you really meant was "we're patients, not potheads." That's what you really meant. It's really just another form of discrimination, demonization, and prejudice against the recreational use of cannabis. You know, a funny thing happened the other day. Let me tell you a little story. Funny thing happened to me the other day. I'm hanging out with a friend of mine who has multiple sclerosis. Now, my friend of mine with multiple sclerosis refuses to get a medical marijuana card because he says he doesn't want to be on a state registry. But he's got multiple sclerosis, so he knows that I have a caregiver card and said, "Hey, would you mind going to the dispensary and getting me some medical marijuana?" He explained what his needs were. He needed something that had at least 1.5% CBD in it and a lot of THC. And I said, "Great, yeah, I'll help you out." So I go down to that dispensary and I get something for him that's got a nice 23% THC, 1.6% CBD. And I bring it back to that patient and he puts it in a bowl and he smokes it. And the pain from his multiple sclerosis and his tremors decreased. And then he passed that bowl to me. And when I smoked it, I got high. Somehow, when that bowl passed from the patient to me, it must have become recreational somehow. Somehow it didn't have medical effect for me. Somehow it transmogrified into a completely different substance. Bullshit. Marijuana is marijuana. With the exceptions of topicals and high CBDs, the MS patient and I are using the same product. There's no need for there to be a separate building for it. Now, I understand complaints that if there's an integrated system, perhaps the market, now more focused on the recreational user, won't focus on those products that are beneficial for medical-only use, things like the high CBDs or the topicals. So, let's make some sort of incentivization system for the stores to carry medical products. Give them a half off their license if they stock X amount of CBD and Y amount of topicals. Give them some sort of tax rebate when they pay their taxes, 10% off your taxes if you're carrying this medical stuff. Any situation that is brought up as a defense of why the patients need something different can easily be addressed without having to make a complete separate building for it. But when you get really right down to it, what the problem is has nothing to do with the patient's medical needs. It has to do with the patient's financial needs. It has to do with these people wanting to protect a system where patients can grow more medicine than they really need and make money off of it. And they keep coming back. These patient advocates keep coming back and talking about the will of the voters. We've got to respect the will of the voters, the will of the voters. And they're, of course, referencing the sections of Measure 91 that says it won't affect the Oregon medical marijuana program. But I counter, if you want to talk about the will of the voters, let's look at 1998, when 54% of them voted for a medical marijuana program that explicitly forbade medical-only commerce. And in 2004, when they were asked to approve medical-only commerce, they defeated it with 57% of the vote. And in 2010, when they were asked if they wanted medical-only cannabis, they defeated it with 54% of the vote. And in 2014, when they were asked about cannabis commerce altogether, one system, not medical-only, they supported that. So three votes against medical-only commerce, one vote for commerce. That's what the will of the voters here in the state of Oregon is. So I'm sorry, I do not buy the idea that we can't have one system for the growing and distribution of marijuana. You want to make money at marijuana? You need to play by the same set of rules. Anything else is just going to incentivize gaming the medical marijuana system. And any more gaming of the medical marijuana system only affects the efforts of people in the Midwest and in the South from getting their medical marijuana laws. You want to know why Illinois still hasn't licensed anyone to grow, still hasn't helped a single damn patient? You want to know why Georgia has forced their lawmaker to drop whole plant marijuana and go with CBD only and just protecting people if they smuggle it in? This is why. The reason why they keep going back to these kind of things is because we keep demonizing the recreational use of marijuana. And now the patients are doing it. They're demonizing the recreational use of marijuana. I actually had one of them offer the defense that there needed to be separate pot shops from medical shops because the medical users who are new to cannabis shouldn't have to shop in a place where they'd be uncomfortable. Of course, that's just saying that we want the patients to be able to shop where there aren't any dirty, icky potheads around. I've had it. I'm not buying it anymore. You can't bullshit me on this because I know damn well from first and secondhand experience here how much shenanigans are going on at the clinic level, how much shenanigans are going on at the dispensary level, the grower level, and the patient level. I've witnessed the shenanigans at every level. You can't tell me they don't exist. You can't tell me the existing dispensaries are existing and thriving on medical alone. That's all the time we got for hour one. Stay tuned for hour two. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. For everyone here at 420 Radio, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed.
it, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roam it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.